This morning, kind of as a follow-up to that, or encouragement, challenge, conviction to that, I want to share a message that I've entitled Living a Transformed Life. As I thought about that, it's fascinating. I came up with this topic, this title, the outline. And then after it was put together, I said, well, wait a minute. That's exactly what Lee is trying to do with those that he ministers to within the prison systems, within his community, is to help lead them to a point of living a transformed life. But in reality, the thought behind this was spending time this week thinking about and reflecting on a transformed life that has meant a lot to me, that has meant a lot to many within this congregation. And that's the life of Ralph Pratt. Ralph went home to be with Jesus this week. He finished his race. He received those words, well done, good and faithful servant, and yet his legacy continues to live. There was a line in the obituary, I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but just jumped off the page at me and made me start thinking about this transformed life. But it simply was stated, on April 4th, 1965, Ralph made a life-changing decision as he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and began a long, fulfilling Christian legacy, baptizing into Christ many family members and friends. You see, Ralph did not simply believe what the Bible said. He did not simply accept the message, the good news of Jesus, but he lived it. And he lived it in a way that he wanted his family, he wanted his friends, he wanted everyone that he knew to have the same hope, the same joy, the same peace that he had in life. And so he was involved and was involved in immersing many into Christ. But as I thought about it, I thought, what does it look like, what does it take for you and I to live a life that looks like a transformed life? I thought about that. I thought about some verses out of Romans chapter 12. Lee began at Romans chapter 1. Really, the first 13 verses of Romans chapter 12, but I want to focus in on verse 2 and then verses 9 through 13. Verse 2 is probably familiar to many of you. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will." I think many of us have spent a lot of time in our life, as in our Christian life, wanting to do God's will. And here Paul writes to the Romans, he says, when you live this transformed life, when you allow your mind to be changed, then you are able to test and know God's good and pleasing will. So I want to look quickly at four areas that I believe God transforms in our life, so that we can not only know His will, but that we can do it. And the first part of living a transformed life is to live with a transformed love. Jumping down in Romans chapter 12, the first half of verse 9, says, "Love must be sincere." And you might read that, you might hear that, and one, you might even say, well, of course. But is that really the way the world loves? Is that really the way that you love one another outside of Christ? Probably not. This transformed love says that I care about people even more than I care about myself. It's a sincerity of love that acts based on what is in the best interest of someone else rather than on what I can get out of it. You see, the world loves in a way that, well, as Jesus would say, we love in a way. In Matthew 5, he says that you love your friends, you love those who do good to you, but I tell you to love your enemies. And this was really turning the entire definition of love upside down as Jesus comes along and says to do good to those who persecute you, to those who do harm. We live with a transformed life when we begin to live with a transformed love that loves people the way that Jesus loves me, the way that Jesus loves you. You see, that's our standard. When we compare our love with the love that others have, we can always find someone that we're better at than what they are in expressing that love. We kind of ignore the ones that are better at expressing it than us, but we're pretty good at using comparison in a way that makes us look good. But when we set Jesus as the standard, then we realize that we must live with a love that's been transformed by His love. And we love people. And it doesn't matter, as Lee was pointing out, we tend to talk about those that are incarcerated, and especially young people, as juvenile delinquents. And we put that word in our mind, and then our love for them is diminished because we've labeled them. We've put them in a trap that they struggle to get out of. And when we live with a transformed life, we live with a love that's transformed, that sees them just as Jesus sees them, just as Jesus sees us. And that transformation says that we walk on the same ground, at the same level. And we're brothers, we're sisters. We're in need of that love that God produces in our life. And so love must be sincere. This transformed love is a love based out of sincerity that is real and genuine. I believe we all know people that have expressions of love that have been directed towards us that we kind of knew from the start that it wasn't real. Their actions kind of showed that they really didn't mean it. A transformed love has meaning behind our love for people. Living a transformed life not only involves living a transformed love, it involves living with a transformed insight. The second half of Romans 12:9 says, to hate what is evil, to cling to what is good. And especially in our world, in our day and age that we live in, many would say, well, how do you even know? Well, you look to God's word. In Psalm 119, verse 99, the psalmist writes, and he talks about as he meditates on the word of God, as he meditates on the laws of God, that he has more insight than all of his teachers. If you want a transformed insight, then you begin to spend time in God's word. You begin to spend time feasting upon his word. You begin to see things from his perspective. You know, that's how it is with you and I if we live life on this earth. And I think one of the difficulties we have currently in our culture is we've set up dividers and things that keep us from listening to one another. And we no longer even care if we have insight into what's going on in another person's life. They're just that way because they're such and such, and they're that way because they're such and such. And we accept that. And we live divided lives. But if I want to have insight into what's going on in your life, then I need to sit down and listen. And listen for the purpose of understanding. I may not agree with everything. Just as you sit down and listen to me, you probably won't agree with everything that I say, that everything that I'm going through, everything that I believe. But until we have that transformed insight, we'll never change. And the greatest insight that we need transformed is our understanding of what Paul wrote and says, to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. We need God's insight into what is evil and what is good. And we get that by sitting down and spending time with God in His Word. He's not tried to hide from us what He thinks. He's not tried to hide from us what He knows. He's given it to us through His Word, and He's given us His Spirit to help us to understand it, to know what He says. And we live this transformed life, we begin to live with a transformed insight so that our actions more reflect that good and pleasing, that perfect will of God that He introduced Romans 12 with. And so we live this transformed life. We live a life that is different because we know what God would want. And those times that we don't know, instead of forging ahead with our own ideas and our own plans, we go back to Him. And we say, give me that wisdom that James promises that God gives without finding fault to all who would ask. So we live with a transformed life. When we live with a transformed love, we live with a transformed insight. But we also live a transformed life when we live with a transformed freedom. Now, I would guess that many, if not all, of those that Lee works with long for freedom. But many of them that find the freedom that they long for, unfortunately, end back up where they began. Because that freedom that they longed for was not a transformed freedom. And I think the same is true for you and I. While we may not have spent time locked up somewhere, in reality, we have spent time locked up in our mind of sin, of temptation, of the things that would take us away from God. And many times we want free from that, but we don't really want to be transformed all that much. We just want the consequences of what we've done to kind of disappear. And when we live with this transformed freedom, verse 10 of Romans 12 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, do not use your freedoms to indulge your sinful nature, but rather serve one another in love. And so many times in our society, in our culture, we hear people clamoring for the freedoms. And when we begin to think that our freedoms are being taken away from us, we cry out and we say, how can they do that? And most of the time that we're hearing about that, it's generally the freedom to do what I want. That's what bothers us. They're trying to restrict what I want to do. And while there might be times that we need to sit back and look at that and address that, the greater issue is my freedom being transformed so that I can serve others according to what they need. Well, we're pretty good at serving ourselves, most of us at least. But that serving of others, that using the freedom that God has given us to help someone else. You see, that's a transformation of freedom that says, you matter to me more than what I believe about this or more than what I believe about that. We live a transformed life that the world can see, that the world needs to see when we begin to live with a transformed freedom that seeks to serve. Just coming off of Veterans Day, and so much of what I've been following online kind of has focused on the generations that served in World War I and World War II specifically. And individuals that willingly served because they believed that the freedom of their fellow man was worth whatever sacrifice that they had to give. And I wondered, as I kept reading those, what would happen within the church, the local church, but the church at large, if we were to gather that same mentality, that same mindset across the board, and say, I'm willing to serve today, not so much because it gains me my freedom, but because it secures the freedom of those that come behind me. And not simply a national freedom, not simply a United States patriotic freedom, but the freedom from sin. The freedom from the bondage of slavery that sin produces in our life. You see, that's the transformed freedom that we need to keep centered in our mind. That while it's great to be able to do whatever I want, if I'm lost, being able to do whatever I want results in a severe consequence. But if I have that transformed freedom that I'm in Christ, then being free to serve, being free to love, being free to share the good news of Jesus produces fruit. It's why Ralph could leave a legacy of good fruit, because he used his freedom to share the good news with his family, with his friends, with really anybody that would listen. We live with a transformed life when we live with a transformed love, a transformed insight, a transformed freedom, but we also live with a transformed life when we live with a transformed expression. And this is really where the application hits the road here. What we do internally ought to be seen by the people that are around us. I have a lot of favorite verses, and if you've heard me preach much, you've probably heard me refer to several of them. But one of them is, Peter writes, and he talks about we ought to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, but to do so with gentleness and respect. And I always tell people, if you're ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you, it means somebody must be asking a question. I don't typically walk around just giving answers. I know in today's time of social media, a lot of people do that. They give answers that nobody's asking a question to. But that's not normal life. I mean, if I come up to some of you today and simply said four, what does that? Well, that's an answer. An answer to what? Yeah, it would just be odd and weird and strange and all of those other adjectives that describe abnormal behavior. No, we give answers when somebody asks a question. And in this instance, they ask the question because we're living a transformed life, a transformed expression that they're able to see that something's different about this guy. There's a hope that he has that I want. There's a hope that he has that I need. Verses 11 through 13 out of this Romans chapter 12, and it continues on beyond those verses. But Paul writes and he says, this is some of that transformed expression. This is how you live that transformed life so that it's obvious. He says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Now, I don't know about you, but for many people, those are not natural reactions to anything. That requires a transformed expression. You see, when we live life that's transformed, it ought to make a difference, not just to us, but to the people we work with, to the people that we share the roads with. I was talking this morning and just about how crazy that it seems to be. And, you know, the first snow always brings out the craziness in the drivers. But as I thought about it, I don't know how it can get much worse. I mean, it just seems like the last year, it's anywhere I go, it's just crazy. But do I add to that? Is my transformed expression change the way I drive, change the way that I deal with people that I don't even know, that I may not even talk to? You see, living with a transformed life says it's going to look different. My expression is one that's, and I love the line in there, faithful in prayer. Because I believe that's what directs it. That's what leads all of the expressions of this transformed life. This morning, as we consider where you're at, the big question, and I state this almost every time that I preach, God's word is calling you to make a decision today. Many times we come to this point and we think, well, that's for those that have not yet accepted Jesus. And that is one decision that some may need to make. There are those here that have not been immersed into Christ, that have not received the forgiveness of their sins, who have not been washed with the blood of the Lamb. Then that's the first step to living a transformed life. But for many that gather on a Sunday morning, we've made that step. And yet there's still a decision to be made. And that decision is basically answering the question, what will I do about what I heard? Not so much even what do I do about what I heard Tom say, but what do I do about what I heard the Spirit say in response to His word? Perhaps it's in that area of love. Maybe God's Spirit has convicted you about the way you love people. And He's saying it's time to step it up and to live with a transformed love. Maybe it's that area of insight that you walk that line of gray that tries to get away with whatever you can without looking too bad. And God's calling you to a transformed insight that sees things as He sees things, that determines good and evil based on what He says, not based on what society says. Perhaps it's that area of freedom, but it's easy. At least it's easy for me. I assume that it's easy for others to live a very selfish life. And that transformed freedom says, I live for others even more than I live for myself. And maybe He's calling you to do something about the way you express that transformed life, that others can see, that others can know that there is hope regardless of the situation they find themselves in. There are many people that we interact with on a daily basis that are living on the brink of hopelessness. And most of them we don't even know. We don't even know that they're that afraid of living. And until we live with that transformed life that they can see, they're probably not going to ask us to pray for them, to help them, to listen to them, to be Jesus to them. As we sing a song of decision today, the question is, what is your decision? What will your life look like this coming week? Will it be different because it's been transformed? Would you stand as we sing?